What brought that on? Only the Lord knows. I knew I was having trouble. I knew I was close to having trouble during the scripture reading this morning, and was in hopes during the opening prayer that it would just be nice and go away. And obviously it didn't, because by the time I tried to start the message, it just decided, guess what, you're going to lose, I'm going to win, whatever it is. That's one of those weird spells that nobody really knows what it's about. Last time I had one, you witnessed, February 21. So we went over 2 months without one. Why did you cause one February 21? And why did you cause one today? I don't know what causes them. But anyway, I know you folks were praying. And how you doing? Whipped. That's how I'm doing. It just kind of really leaves me drained. But I just thank the Lord for the chance that we have to be here this evening. And God is faithful. And we're just going to keep on keeping on as long as He enables us. So how's that sound? Let's go and trust that we will make it through this evening without any antics to get your mind off of what we're talking about. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? We do thank you, Father, for this chance to be here tonight. Lord, we've come to a very important subject this evening. Like sin with Manasseh this morning, as we had the message title, "It's Worse Than Many Think." Our topic this evening, Lord, is more important than many people think. But I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. What I have to say is meaningless. It is the Spirit that quickens. Jonathan read that verse this morning. The flesh profits nothing. So, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, and may you get all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Joel, you like to write titles. The title of this one is Forgive? Question mark. Are you kidding? How do you handle it when someone wrongs you? Probably quite a variety of responses if we were to open this up for you to just give some responses back. How do you handle it when someone wrongs you? With some, there might be the word revenge, resentment, retaliation. Just wait. Recounting. Let me tell you what so-and-so did to me. And on the list could go. But do we forgive when someone wrongs us? Forgive? You got to be kidding. Well, you know what? As I mentioned, even in my prayer, we're not kidding. And forgiveness is more important than many folks realize. And I trust that the Lord might get the glory as we turn to His Word this evening. I want us to use as our text this evening Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, 3 and 4. And with those two verses, if you like to take notes, why don't you just call this, "What Are We Supposed to Do?" What are we supposed to do? These verses talk about that. In Luke 17:3, "Take heed to yourselves." Pay attention here. listeners, our Lord said when he was here on earth, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in one day, and 7 times in that same day turns again to thee saying, I repent, I'm sorry, thou shalt forgive him. Now let's take a look at these and some of the key words in these verses. It starts out in verse 3, if thy brother trespass against thee. That's an old King James word, isn't it? What does it mean? It just simply means to sin or to offend. If someone sins against you or offends you in some way. Well, what are we supposed to do? Run to your neighbor. Get on the, what do they call that thing? Facebook. Smear it all over the internet. Is that what it says there? That if someone trespass against you, what is the first responsibility for a believer? We don't like this word. That's why we like to put it on Facebook. Wait till I tell you what he did to me. But what does the Bible say our first response is to be? Rebuke him. Say it again. Rebuke him. Why don't we like that? Because that means I have to do what? Huh? I have to go face to face with the one who offended me. Now, how many of you like to do that? It's easier, isn't it, to put it on Facebook and call your friend and say, you won't believe what she said. You won't believe what he did. That's sadly, oftentimes more true and more the rule than the exception. Isn't it, Christian? What's this word rebuke mean? It means to censure, to admonish, to charge that one, to go to that one, and how are we supposed to handle that? With some, the response might be, you bet your bottom dollar that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell him off. I'm going to give him or her a piece of my mind. It may come as a surprise, but that is not rebuking. The person means here. And what are we supposed to do? In the pulpit commentary, one author suggested this, and he says, our Lord tells us, actually, Matthew's gospel has some comment about this same truth, and he says that Christ enjoined upon us under a sense of injury that we should go and tell our brother his fault between ourselves and him alone. That's how rebuking is to be done. Go and tell that one between ourselves and him alone. But that's no fun. There's no satisfaction if I just go one-on-one. I like to let others know how much this guy or gal offended me. Doesn't matter. In Matthew, when we come to that topic of offense, the Lord said, you go one-on-one. You go privately to the offender. You don't go blabbing this all over to others. You handle it one-on-one. And this is surely most wise. Instead of dwelling upon it and magnifying it in our own eye, in our own mind, instead of talking about it and causing it to be spread abroad and discolored and misrepresented, the one right thing to do is to go at once to our offending neighbor and tell him our grievance. It's very likely that he will explain everything, and there will be no need of any overlooking on our part. Or if wrong has been done, it's how do you know that he won't appreciate our fairness and friendliness in coming straight to him and will make the apology that is due on his part? You say, well, yeah, you don't know him. You don't know her. Well, then must come what? If he says, I'm sorry, what's our part supposed to be? I'm just going to stick that over here in this corner pocket so that I can, at an instant notice, anytime I need it, I can just whip that thing right out of the pocket and throw it in their face again and remind them how much they have. No, what does our passage say? If he repent, in our text here in Luke 17:3, if he says, I am so sorry, I didn't mean to, will you please forgive me? It was so unkind on my part. What's the word say? Forgive. And if he should refuse to repent, we must pity him and pray for him that his eyes may be opened and his actions amended and himself raised by doing the right and honorable thing. But if he repents, then it is our high and Christian duty to forgive. Like I said. But that's tough to go to someone face to face. Did anybody ever say that the Christian life is easy? And so we see here what we are supposed to do. Not go tell him off, point out, perhaps you didn't realize what was happening. You might not even been aware, but I took offense. It bothered me. What did you mean by what you said, by what you did? I didn't want anything to come between our relationship. And so, because you mean so much to me, I wanted to come directly to you. I haven't told anybody else about this, but the Lord, let's get this straightened around. And if he repents, you forgive. It's hard to go to someone who has wronged you and face them, isn't it? As I mentioned a moment ago, it's so much easier and fleshly satisfying. Let's be honest. It's easier and so much more fleshly satisfying to go to someone else and say, let me tell you about what she or he did. But scripturally, that's the wrong order, isn't it? And that's not what we're supposed to do. The Lord didn't say in our text that it's right to go and give someone a piece of your mind every time they do you wrong. But you are to take steps to bring peace back into your relationship. And there's a world of difference between giving someone a piece of your mind, and in all honesty, How many broken relationships does giving someone a piece of your mind really fix? There is an old saying, I don't know who made it up, but the old saying is, two wrongs don't what? Two wrongs don't make it right. You see, the Lord is already here indicating a wrong was done in verse 3. And here's the steps you take, not to add another wrong to it, but here's some steps you should take to try to make that right. Try to bring harmony back into that relationship once again. Okay, Pastor. I see what I'm supposed to do. All right. Okay. Notice it didn't say to what degree did they offend you. It's just something that someone did not sit well with you. And you were offended by it. Okay, I'll do it this once. But they better not do it again. What's verse 4 say? And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times turn again and say, I repent. By the way, repent means to think differently and to reconsider. You're right, I was wrong, and you forgive, you send that one away, you send that one forth away from you with a cleared relationship. The issue has been settled. We've talked about it. You recognized you were wrong. You've asked forgiveness. I forgive. But suppose he doesn't ask for forgiveness. Suppose he doesn't ask for forgiveness. One author suggested we pray for them, we continue to just commit them to the Lord and ask the Lord to work in their hearts. Another author suggested our Savior says that we should forgive even if the offense has been committed 70 times 7. 70 times 7. We are to declare our willingness to forgive him. If he does not ask forgiveness, do we give him the cold shoulder? Do we say, okay, you're going to be on my don't like hit list here? No. We are still to treat him kindly, not to harbor malice, not to speak ill of him, be ready to do him good, and always be prepared to declare him forgiven as soon as he asks for it. Has anybody heard anything a little bit difficult tonight so far? Humanly speaking, nobody said this was easy. I said it is so important. It is so important. And so we see here in verses 3 and 4 our text. Let's review. And this was under the heading, what are we supposed to do? Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. Go to him, not someone else. And if he repents, you forgive him. And if he even does it again, after you have said, I forgive you, you just continue. If he repents and says, I didn't mean to, but I've done it again, will you forgive me? Okay. 2 hours later, you're right. I didn't mean to, forgive me. That gets old, doesn't it? But we are to forgive. What if I don't forgive him? What if I don't forgive him? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 6. And let's look at verse 12 to begin here. Matthew 6, 12. As a part of what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, what is included in that model prayer that the Lord gave to his disciples? Verse 12, and forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our offenses, as we forgive those who are trespassing or offending us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's read on. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, by the way, what is this second point in our outline? We are posing the question, okay, Pastor, it was so offensive, it was so severe, I can't forgive, I won't forgive. Okay, that's the attitude you want to take? Just bear in mind the words of our Lord. If you forgive men of their offenses to you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. J. Arthur Springer said this, God's children, although already saved from hell through individual faith in Christ, must not expect their Father to forgive them their wrongdoing toward others if they themselves harbor a grudge. What do you mean God won't forgive? I thought when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, my sins were forgiven. They are. In looking for some guidance and some help on this, I appreciated what the MacArthur Study Bible had to say on this particular verse. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May I read a footnote that I think is a great explanation of that? Mr. MacArthur says, this is not to suggest that God will withdraw justification from those who have already received the free pardon that he extends to all believers. Forgiveness in that sense, a permanent and complete acquittal from the guilt and ultimate penalty of sin, belongs to all who are in Christ Jesus. And he gives verses like John 5:24, like Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he also makes reference to Ephesians 1:7. Yet the scripture also teaches that God chastens his children who disobey him. Hebrews chapter 12, 5, 6, and 7. The Lord chastens those whom he what? Who he loves. And if we're not receiving any chastening, it's a good sign of what? We're not even one of his children. He goes on, he says, believers are to confess their sins in order to obtain a day-to-day cleansing. 1 John 1:9 tells us what? If we confess our sins, then he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9 is not the sinner's prayer, is it? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of that which has broken the what in our relationship. Our fellowship, not our relationship, father-child relationship, but our fellowship is based upon our what? Our confession of sin. Then he is willing to forgive and cleanse of all unrighteousness. This sort of forgiveness, Mr. MacArthur goes on saying, is a simple washing from the worldly defilement of sin. It's not a repeat of the wholesale cleansing from sin's corruption that comes with justification. It is like a washing of the feet rather than a bath. Remember Peter's mistake in the upper room there in John chapter 13? Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Well, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part in me. Then here, give me a whole bath, Lord. No, he that is washed need not be washed all over again, just the daily defilement. And that's what our Lord is indicating this text is all about. Forgiveness in this latter sense of just the daily defilement is what God threatens to withhold from Christians who refuse to forgive others. You're never going to be able to experience and know the fellowship, not only with that person if you refuse to forgive them, but the Lord teaches in Matthew chapter, what was it here? Matthew chapter 6, if we don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive and restore that fellowship. Now it seems like this topic of being willing to forgive someone is becoming just a little more important than what often we think. We want to claim 1 John 1:9, but forget it if we won't forgive our brother. And it doesn't matter how many times the offender offends. The Lord made that very clear. He said in his text here in Luke chapter 17, he gave the number, verse 4, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Does anybody know the significance of why of this number seven here? It's not that perfect number like Jonathan likes to run through the scriptures. Does anybody remember what the law required a person to forgive? Three times. The law required three times. And what the Lord says here is, it's not just double what the law requires, but it's even more than double what the law requires. And the whole point is, stop counting. I've already forgiven him of this. The Lord says, just forgive. Just forgive if they come and they repent, they say, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me? Oh, you know, I don't know how many more times I can give you. The Lord, on one occasion, even told one of his followers who had said, you know, well, suppose we forgive them seven times. The Lord said, 70 times 70. That's 490 times. Do the math. Who's gonna sit there and count how many times? Just habitually be willing to forgive. What's at stake? What's at stake is not only your fellowship with the one who offended you, but in Matthew chapter 6 we see what else is at stake is my fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I'll not know the joy of fellowship with Him if I am harboring unforgiveness towards someone else. Why must I forgive them? Here's a third question if you like to take notes. Why must I forgive them? They were the one who offended. Why should I have to go and rebuke them? He ought to come to me. She ought to take the first step. How am I reading some of your minds? Because I have human nature just like you do. And I know what goes through the old brain. Do you know how I know? Been there, done that. And I'm no different than you. Why should I forgive? Number one, because God commands us to. That ought to be enough right there. But let's consider, secondly, think about what has happened to you. If you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, let me remind you of Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. Don't turn to it, just listen. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as what? Now, why should I forgive? Because God forgave you a lot more than He's asking you to forgive that person of. Don't forget what God has done for you. He has commanded us to forgive. He has demonstrated His forgiveness through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, again, let me just read it for you. When it says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's our same word. God did it for you and me on the basis of the finished work of His Son, because He loves you and me. And so He says, we forgive others. When we realize what God has forgiven us of, how can we refuse? But Pastor, I don't know how many times I've forgiven that person and they just keep doing it. Let me ask you this. Have you never committed the same sin over and over before God? is your track record, is your sins committed and ask God to forgive ledger, if there is such a thing, does it only list each offense only one time in your slate before God? How many times have you committed the same thing and you've gone, Lord, forgive me what? Again. Jesus started, and we looked at verse 3 for our starting point as we bring this to a close. It says, take heed to yourselves. Why did he say that? In the context of verses 1 and 2, what do we see? Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. There will be offenses, Jesus said. Well, that's exactly what verse 3 was about, if someone offends you. I didn't even read those verses, but we're closing with this to remind us there's going to be offenders. There will be offenses. Jesus said, you can't stop it. But woe unto him through whom they come. We can't stop the wrongdoings from happening. But as Christians, we must guard against more wrongs being added to the first offense. And that wrong is going to be added when we refuse to offer forgiveness. When one repents, I started out with these questions. How do you handle it when someone wrongs you? I trust that rather than revenge, resentment, retaliation, and recounting, our answer will be, boy, I've seen the importance of forgiveness perhaps tonight in a new light. That's my prayer, that God might be able to speak to our hearts. It's more important than many think. Is there someone to whom you owe forgiveness? And you have been withholding it. May God speak to our hearts. Let's close in prayer. Father, this is one of those where the rubber meets the road, and we would like to just kind of dismiss it and pretend that our case is a special case. We have reasons why this scriptural admonition won't work. Oh God, forgive us of such foolish thinking. Help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, in closing, I ask for two things. I ask for courage and the right spirit to confront the one that might offend us. And I ask that to your glory. But secondly, I ask, Lord, that you would give us grace in our hearts to your honor and glory. If someone has the courage to come to us and point out a wrongdoing that we have done, may Christ be seen and glorified in both instances, Lord. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.